Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with another lesson on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This time we're looking at questions and answers 45, 46, and 47. Which is the first commandment? The first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." What is required in the first commandment? The first commandment requires us to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly. What is forbidden in the first commandment? The first commandment forbids the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other which is due to Him alone. You shall have no other gods before me. You'll notice that the Shorter Catechism breaks the commandment into two parts, as it were. What is required in the first commandment? What is forbidden in the first commandment? In going through the catechism, we always find the negative and the positive. Although each of the commandments is negative, "You shall have no other gods before me," and states the performance required in the negative, the catechism looks at both the positive and the negative. And you should always remember this. When a command is given, such as "you shall not," the command also involves "you shall," the things that you ought to do. The positive side is always implied in the negative side which is given. And so it is with each of the questions and answers in the catechism. You shall have no other gods before me. The catechism says that the first commandment requires us to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly. I point you to two particular verses in the book of Romans. The first involves Romans 1, verses 19 and 20. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." Paul is speaking here particularly about the unbelieving world. And he says of unbelievers that they have God revealed to them and in them, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen in the things that have been made, not only in the external world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork. But in their own beings, God has revealed Himself. And the knowledge of God from this perspective is unavoidable. And you see this in unbelievers when they get into very tight situations and their lives are threatened. They exclaim, "O God," or "Save me, O God." In the last resort, they turn to the living God, because in them the power and the eternal nature of the Creator is revealed. Then we read these verses in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. You see, even atheists who deny the existence of God have embedded in their persons a sense of right and wrong. You can illustrate it this way. It's a very bad thing to steal from a thief. If you steal from a thief, you will pay the consequences. It's wrong to steal from a thief. Well, this is a complete perversion and turning the law of God upside down, but the whole idea of right and wrong is embedded in the very nature of unbelievers. And therefore, they have what we call conscience to a greater or a lesser degree. And so, escaping God in his person is impossible, and escaping the rules which God has given to us in the Ten Commandments is also inescapable. The work of the law, the remnants of the law, is written in their hearts, even as fallen individuals. And so what we have before us in the Catechism is the law as a rule of life, not only for those of us who believe and trust Jesus Christ, but for those who do not trust Jesus Christ and in fact would shun him and seek to disobey him. And the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," requires of you and me, those of us who trust Jesus Christ, and those who are outside the pale of the visible church, to acknowledge God as the only true God, to know God, and to acknowledge God as the only true God. That is, to come to the place where you bow before him and worship him, and to worship him and glorify him accordingly. God is the only true God. He is the creator of the universe, and this is unavoidable. And you and I need to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God, and unbelievers also need to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God. And what is forbidden in the first commandment? The first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God. So if you take a position as an atheist, you are violating the first commandment, the requirement to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God. If you take the position of an agnostic and say, "I don't know if God exists, he may exist, but I do not know if he exists," you are also violating the first commandment, because you are required to know God and to acknowledge God as the only true God. And if you are a member of Islam and you swear allegiance to Allah, you are violating the first commandment, because Allah is not the true God, and you profess to know Allah, but you are violating the first commandment because you do not know God and acknowledge him to be the only true God. The true God of the Bible is the God who manifests himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the triune God, and Allah is not the triune God. And we could go through the other sects and cults and rehearse the same message. If you are an Hindu, you are not worshiping God as the only true God and acknowledging Him to be the only true God, etc., etc. And the Catechism goes on to say, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other, which is due to Him alone. If you give worship and glory to any other, which is due only to God alone, you are violating the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Athletics and politics in the United States of America has come to the place where many not only verge on violating the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, but they actually do establish themselves in athletics as those who are to be venerated and those who are to be looked up to by everyone in the nation. And you see this very often by the fan waving and adulation to athletes as they come out onto the basketball court or as they come out onto the playing field, and the people are bowing before them and exalting in them. And so it is with politicians who make extravagant promises that they will never be able to keep. And they make such extravagant promises that only the Creator Himself could, in His wise and prudent activity, fulfill those promises if He saw fit to do so. Years ago, when I was a cadet at the United States Military Academy at West Point, and we had come to the time of our final exams, I was off someplace studying, and I came back to my room. And when I came back to my room, I saw in my room a group of my classmates seated on the floor in a circle. And in the middle of the circle was a little miniature Buddha. And my classmates were burning incense in that little Buddha. That's what it was. It was an incense burner. And they were gathered around this Buddha and bowing down and mumbling prayers and seeking guidance. And I asked them when I came into the room. I was not a believer. I was an unbeliever at this time. And I asked them when I came into the room, "What in the world are you doing?" And they turned and looked up to me and said, "We're praying for good results in our final examinations." And I turned around and walked out of the room. What a display of violation of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. What is forbidden in the first commandment? Listen to it again. The first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other, which is due to Him alone. If these classmates of mine were serious, they were violating the first commandment, and they were also committing idolatry. They were bowing down to a false image and violating the second commandment. If they were really serious, they would have discarded that Buddha and that incense and got down on their knees and bowed before the living God and prayed to him through Jesus Christ the Savior and asked them to give them by his grace and through their study a good result on their final examinations. But this is not what they were doing. They were engaging in false worship, and they were violating the very first of all the commandments. And because the law of the God was embedded in their hearts, and the work of the law was embedded in their hearts, and that rule of life had not only been given to them by means of the Creator and their being created in God's image, but that rule of law had also been given to them in the Ten Commandments written, they should have known better. And you and I should also know better. Which is the first commandment? The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. In our next lesson, we will look into that little prepositional phrase, before me. Thanks for listening.